You are Locked On NBA Draft, your daily podcast on the NBA Draft. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Yo, 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 what is up? What is up? You're listening to Locked On NBA Draft. This is your host, Rafael Barlow from NBA Draft Junkies. I hope everybody had a good weekend. I know I had a good weekend. My parents came in town, and I just had a great time with my family. I hadn't really seen them, to the point where I hadn't seen everybody at the same place at the same time in like 5 years. So it was awesome just to have my brothers in town and my nieces and nephews, and I'm just thankful that we had an opportunity to be around each other, and it wasn't a sad situation. I know a lot of times, unfortunately, families only get together when it's a sad situation or a holiday, and in this case, it wasn't. So I'm on cloud nine going into this week since I had an opportunity to just spend time with my family. But before I get started, I just wanted to thank each and every person that has been listening and making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the week, for making my particular episode of Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day of the week. So thank you so much. We are free and we are available on all platforms. Now in this episode, I'm going to switch it up a little bit. And I think last week, you know, I'm starting to get my days mixed up, maybe because I'm excited that every day we get a day closer to the official start of basketball in the States. I know basketball has already started overseas, and they're like deep into it, like 2 or 3 weeks into it. So we started preseason last week. College basketball hasn't started yet, but you know, every day we're getting closer. So, but in this episode, I just wanted to talk about the 15 things that I personally will be keeping an eye out on in this NBA season. I know last week I did like a watch list of my top 15 prospects. Again, it wasn't like a big board. It wasn't like a mock draft. It was just 15 players that I had some questions about, and that I was, you know, just basically what I'm going to be looking forward to or paying attention to for those particular players this season. But now I'm going to do this for the NBA. It's not necessarily all players, but it's just, I mean, basically storylines that, again, I'll be paying attention to. So I'll start off with number 15, and it is this it for Greg Popovich? I saw a rumor saying that this could be it for Popovich this season. The Spurs do not look like they're going to be good. I don't know how much losing he can take. I mean, their future in San Antonio, I don't want to say it looks bleak, but I mean, it seems like a lot of redundancy there. They don't have a star player. I mean, I guess if Keldon Johnson is their number one, their best player, or their most valuable asset, then how good can San Antonio be? I mean, they're young. It just seems like they have a bunch of guards and wings. So I don't know how much longer he'll want to put up with that. I mean, it's the Spurs. I mean, it doesn't seem like it's in Pop's nature to tank, and it seems like they are not going to be bad enough. Or they actually might be, but they don't seem like they've been like openly tanking, which is going to make it a little bit harder for them to get one of the top players in next year's draft. And speaking of tanking, number 14 for me is between the Rockets, the Thunder, and the Magic. Which team is going to be the worst team in the NBA? I think between these three, I mean, I think they're just going to be awful. I mean, these teams are younger than Baylor's team last year, Baylor's national championship college team. The Rockets, I had a chance to catch some of their preseason games. I mean, they're going to be fun to watch. I mean, Kevin Porter Jr. and Jalen Green are going to be an exciting backcourt. They just have a lot of guards. They're going to be bad. I mean, I think this team has like, I don't know, it seems like 9 guys on their team are under 20. That's crazy to me. Orlando, just a lot of guards, a lot of redundancy. I have no idea what their opening night starting lineup could be. You could give me five different scenarios and they all could be legit. Especially the point guard situation. Do you go with Jalen Suggs or do you go with Markelle Fultz? You can make a case and say you just paid Fultz like $50 million. He's coming off an injury. But Jalen Suggs was drafted high. I mean, you just got so many guards there. I think I saw like one lineup or Gary Harris started at the two, which he, you know, you can say that's deservedly so. But if Gary Harris is starting at the two, then let's say it's Gary Harris and Jalen Suggs is their starting backcourt, then that means off the bench you have RJ Hampton, you have Cole Anthony. It's just a lot going on there. So I think I don't even know how many of those teams are going to win 25 games between the Rockets, Thunder, and Magic. I mean, I just imagine it's going to be some bad basketball. And then Oklahoma City, same thing. A lot of guards, a lot of players that have overlapping skill sets. And I tried to watch a little bit of the game yesterday, and it was just tough for me to watch. And I'm a huge basketball fan. I can watch some bad basketball. But the Thunder, going to be tough for me to watch. You know, SGA, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, a great talent, but, I mean, he went from playing with Chris Paul and being in the playoffs in, what, his second year to straight tank season. But they look like they have one in Josh Giddey. Josh Giddey looks to be someone that is going to compete for Rookie of the Year. All right, at number 13, it is, and I mean, people are probably shocked that this is not higher on my list, but it is Tyrese Maxey. Is he ready to handle the point in Philly? Unless a trade gets done, it looks like he's going to be the man there at the point guard spot. To me, it's like a really weird situation because you have one Rich Paul client and Ben Simmons that is holding out, and it is going to benefit another Rich Paul client in Tyrese Maxey. As long as Maxey and I'm sorry, as long as Rich Paul and Daryl Morey and Ben Simmons are in this, I don't know, standoff. I mean, I imagine that Tyrese is going to get a lot of minutes at the point. And I think he's going to play well. I mean, I think with most NBA players, if you give them 30 minutes a game, they're going to put up decent numbers. But Maxey has a chance to be special. So, again, is he ready to handle the point? And it's just a weird situation where another clutch client is benefiting from one clutch client deciding to take his ball and go home because his feelings are hurt. And I mean, I saw a picture. I don't want to go spend too much time on Ben Simmons, but I saw a picture, like a still shot of him making that pass in Game 7 where he just had Trae Young under the basket. And the still shot made it even worse. I mean, watching it on video was bad, but when you see the still shot of him passing up a dunk over like 180-pound Trae Young, and then he's mad because they didn't coddle him. As you can tell, I'm not a Ben Simmons fan, and I have no problem just on being on the record of saying I just think that he's spoiled and entitled, and he really took his ball and went home because Doc and Embiid didn't coddle him like they've been doing for years because he just hasn't gotten better. All right, moving on to number 12, just up, I think it's I-95. Can Julius Randle provide the same play that he did last year? Can we get an encore from Julius Randle? Randle had a great season. The Knicks caught a lot of people by surprise, but now there will be expectations. Bringing in Kemba Walker, who looks like so far that he has the little bounce back. I mean, he always had this little hop in his bounce to his game. He looks like he's back. They added Evan Fournier. Derrick Rose has just continued to, I mean, just come back and be solid. I mean, he'll never be the Derrick Rose that he was before, but he's just been able to come back and be an effective player. And so, I mean, what is going to happen with the Knicks with expectations? Can Julius Randle put up the same numbers? Did they improve their shooting? So that is another team that I'm really going to keep my eye out on. All right, at number 11, the team that not a lot of people care about, but I want to know, If the Sacramento Kings can end their playoff drought. The last time the Kings were in the playoffs, man, I can tell you my wardrobe was totally, totally different. Air Force Ones, baggy jeans, XL t-shirts, pinwheel hats. I mean, that's how long it's been since the Kings have made the playoffs. So that is something that I'll be looking out for. Can the Sacramento Kings end their playoff drought? And also, who is their closing lineup? I mean, they have a lot of guards there. I mean, do you go with Mitchell? Do you go with, well, only one. Mitchell's defense is definitely needed. Sacramento was not a good defensive team. So his ability to defend, you would think that they would want him on the court at the end of games, which means is Halliburton off? We know Fox is on the floor. Is Marvin Bagley going to make his jump this year? I mean, it's a lot of pressure on Bagley simply because, I mean, he didn't draft himself, but he has not played as well as other members of his draft class, Trae Young, Luka Doncic, even DeAndre Ayton. So that is something I'm going to look out for. Can the Kings end their playoff drought? And if today I had to make a choice, I'd say no. All right, when we return, I'll talk about 10 more things that I'm looking forward to seeing. Stay tuned. All right, if you enjoy fantasy basketball like I do, then you know that there were ways to win. I wouldn't call it cheat, but I used to find a way to beat the system because I always kept a flexible roster spot of a guy that I knew that I could cut and I could replace him every day with a new player. So that way I could win because I had more games. Well, in 2018, the fantasy sports experts at Sleeper realized that fantasy basketball was broken. Games were being won and lost based off of whose players had more scheduled games that week. It made no sense and required very little strategy. So in 2020, Sleeper released a brand new way of playing fantasy basketball. It's called Gang Pick, and it is only available at Sleeper. In Gang Pick, owners pick a single game per week for each starter to count towards their team's total score, which ensures an even number of games played between opponents. The days of losing, or in my case, winning, because players simply had more scheduled games to play in that week, are over. The days of mindless daily busy work, over. The days of giving up halfway through the season because of all that busy work, over. In Game Picks, you pick one player per week for each player based on player matchups, home versus away, opponent's defensive rating or ranking, pace of play, and more. All of that adds up to more strategy and less busy work. So whether you prefer redraft, keeper, or dynasty, Game Picks has you covered. Sleeper cracked the fantasy basketball code. And if you play fantasy football, and if you prefer building out a weekly strategy versus daily busy work, you're going to love Game Picks. So download the Sleeper app and start a league with your friends today. You will not be disappointed. Sleeper's one-of-a-kind Gang Pick is the most strategic fantasy basketball experience in the industry. Quick question. Does this sound familiar to you? You've got one device that lets you watch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're also trying to watch sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. But I want to tell you about a simple way to get all of that entertainment that you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It is called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before. So you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes, no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there is no annual contract. So get rid of all the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That is DirecTV.com. Of course, you have to have a compatible device. All right, I am back. Thanks again for making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day. We are free and available on all platforms. Thanks again. I had mentioned it on last week's episode that if you are listening to the podcast and I don't really get a chance to interact with everybody, shoot me a message on Twitter, Barlow, B-A-R-L-O-W-E 500, or even on Instagram, R Barlow. I probably need to have one one name that I use across all platforms, but I guess I wasn't prepared for this position that I'm in now. But let's talk about number 10. It is my Portland Trailblazers. I am a diehard Trailblazers fan. And I want to know, can Chauncey Billups improve the defense? But more importantly, I think the defense was an issue. But more importantly, Portland's issue was health. Now, I know Chauncey's not a doctor, but if he can get some good health from the Blazers, I mean, last year, Nurkic some time. CJ McCollum missed some time. If the Blazers can stay healthy, I think that they can be really good. The problem is they haven't been able to stay healthy. Zach Collins missed a lot of time the last few years. He's no longer on the team, and I think that they were counting on Zach a lot. I mean, they were expecting him to make a big jump and be a big contributor, and so with losing him, there are some depth issues there. Can Norm Powell be a legit number three scorer? And then off the bench, is Ant Simons going to make the big jump? I think Larry Nance could help. And then I've been reading a lot about Nasir Little. He seems like he's someone that they're expecting to contribute and play a big role this year. So we'll see if that happens. But yeah, looking to see how this situation works out with Billups. I like Terry Stotts. I did not think Stotts was the problem. I thought he was. I mean, I figured they had to make a change. I didn't necessarily think the poor defense was all on Stotts, simply because if you have a front court rotation of Carmelo Anthony, who's not known to be a defender, who was in like year 17 last year, Enes Kanter, he's definitely not known for being a defender. And then when you have those two guys playing a lot of minutes and sometimes heavy minutes together, then you can't expect your defense to be really, really good. So I don't necessarily put the blame on the Blazers' poor defensive issues on Stotts, because I feel like he wasn't the one that put the roster together. I like Carmelo a lot, and I like Kanter. I really like Kanter. I just did not like them playing together because, just put the Blazers in pick and roll, and, I mean, it's going to cause a huge scramble. So if Billups can improve the D, that will, you know, be big. But I think the improved roster as far as being more athletic and having traditional four and Larry Nance Jr. And then even, Robert Covington looks like he's going to start at the four. I think the Blazers defense should be better. All right. And number 9, it is Anthony Edwards. Now, this may be controversial, but I wonder, does Anthony Edwards become the Wolves' closer this year? Are we going to start seeing a shift and the team being Ant's team over Karl Anthony Towns? It sounds crazy, but I think that there's a chance that it could happen, simply because Ant is going to have the ball in his hands. He's a guard. I'm saying that he's a guard. I just think as the closer, he'll be the one that will have the ball in his hands and he'll be looked upon to create shots. And then I also want to see how well the Wolves, I guess the term big three has just kind of been overused, but how well their three stars with D'Angelo Russell, Karl Anthony Towns, and Anthony Edwards mesh and play together. The signs looked good towards the end of the season last year, but it was the end of the season. You know, a lot of teams look good at the end of the season. I know I've been fooled plenty of times by teams and players who look good in April, and then the expectations come back the following season and they don't live up to them. Minnesota has, on paper, they have a playoff team. I think there's still some issues as far as depth, especially in the front court. I like Malik Beasley. He had a pretty solid year last year, just got paid. I know going to jail doesn't help. Him coming off the bench. And, I think Okogie, I think I saw him start a game. So I'm looking forward to seeing what goes on there. But I think there's a chance that Anthony Edwards could be their late game closer. All right, moving up to number 8, it is the Miami Heat, who might be on paper the toughest team in the NBA. I mean, if you got into a backyard street brawl, I think the Miami Heat would come out on top. But the player that I'm looking forward to seeing is Tyler Hero. Does he make the jump? Are we going to see bubble Tyler Hero or the Tyler Hero that we saw last season. Now, don't get me wrong. Tyler Hero was not bad last season. He just did not play as well as he played in the bubble. I think a lot of people were expecting to see bubble Tyler Hero throughout last season. And the bubble was a different situation. And I just wonder, like, are we going to see that Tyler Hero back? And then also, what happens with Victor Oladipo? And the funny thing about Oladipo is I feel like he has been able to avoid a lot of criticism. He has not received the same criticism as Dennis Schroeder. I think Schroeder turned down $84 million and got, let's say, six. So that's a $78 million loss. Oladipo turned down $112 million. $112 million or something like that. And I think he's making two. That is a $110 million loss. And he seems to have been able to avoid a lot of the same criticisms as Dennis Schroeder. So if Oladipo comes back, I don't expect him to be the VO from two or three years ago. But if he comes back, how does that affect the Miami's rotation at guard? As far as, I mean, they have a lot of depth. I mean, they'll have Kyle Lowry, they'll have Jimmy Butler, you have Victor Oladipo, you have Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson. Miami is a team that a lot of people are talking about this year. And you can't forget adding P.J. Tucker and I can't remember which Morris twin I added, but the Morris twin. So Miami is going to be good. But again, my biggest question is, can Tyler Hero make the jump? Speaking of P.J. Tucker, my number seven thing that I'm looking out for is, can the Milwaukee Bucks replace P.J. Tucker? Now, Tucker was... I mean, he played a good role in the Bucks championship. I mean, I know Kevin Durant put up ridiculous numbers in that second round series, but you can't say PJ didn't make him work. And PJ is getting up there in age, but he still brings that toughness, that defensive mindset. He's still a threat to knock down corner threes. He is just like the ultimate glue guy. And I wonder, how does Milwaukee replace PJ? I know Bobby Portis is expected to probably come in and start. I know they added more wings, but just wondering if PJ Tucker can be replaced by the Bucks. All right, at number six, DeMar DeRozan, Lonzo Ball, and Zach LaVine. Can they coexist? Are the Bulls legit? And I saw something that was pretty interesting to me. The Chicago Bulls starting five is going to have two guys from UCLA and Lonzo Ball and Zach LaVine, two guys from USC and DeMar DeRozan and Vucevic, and then it looks like a young guy from Florida State. But you got four guys that come from two rival schools in the same city that are now in Chicago looking to make it work. Is the Bulls' defense going to be any good? Is there just the style of play? I mean, I think there's some questions about their fit together as far as LaVine and DeRozan. Then also, does LaVine get a contract extension? I know that that's something that he's looking for. He's due for a hefty pay raise. So this is a season in Chicago with probably the most expectation since the Tom Thibodeau years, or maybe right after that. So looking forward to seeing if the Bulls are legit and if they can be a playoff team. On paper, you expect them to be a playoff team, but we will see. All right, when we return, it is the top five things that I'm looking forward to seeing in the 2021-22 NBA season. All right, if you've been listening to my podcast for a while, which I hope that you have, but if not, and you're a new listener, then I have to tell you about Built Bar. You guys that have been listening know how I feel about Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar on the market, and it's the best tasting because it tastes just like a candy bar. It has a lot of different flavors. There's something for everyone. So when you talk about a person like myself that's a Built Bar fan, we love to talk about our favorites. If you don't know the Built Bar flavors, there's coconut, cherry barcia, raspberry, mint brownie, double chocolate, salted caramel, strawberry, orange, cookies and cream. The reason I love it is because, like I said, it is a protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. It has 17 to 18 grams of protein. The calories are ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, and only 4 or 5 grams net carbs. It's amazing flavors, all tasty, all healthy. Order today. You can get your grasshopper cookie or your raspberry, whatever you like.
And Built Bar was the official protein bar of the U.S. track and field team. So go to builtbar.com, use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 15% off your order. Use the promo code LOCKED, and you'll get 15% off at builtbar.com.
All right, I am back, and I'm going to round out the top five things that I'll be looking forward to seeing this basketball season. And at number five, Zion Williamson. Can he be healthy? Can he defend? I've been on record of saying that I think Zion is one of the hardest players in the NBA to build around because he's an inside presence, a dominant inside presence. But I feel like he is best suited to play the five, but he doesn't rebound like a five. And if you're going to play him at the four, then you need a five that can space the floor to give him maximum floor spacing so he can operate like he... he just had more room to operate. Even though last year, in the last 2 years, he really hasn't had a lot of floor spacing at the five. I mean, he just put up crazy numbers on crazy efficiency. So this Zion-Jonas V combination, looking forward to seeing how that works. But can Zion stay healthy? I mean, he's already going to start this season off with an injury. And, I mean, that makes like three straight years. Can he defend? I mean, I saw some clips of him on defense, and he just did not have the best effort. And then also, he looked heavy, and I don't want to be the one that comes with the cliche Zion statements, but I saw a clip of him at a football game, and he was, I think it was like a USC game, and he was on the sidelines, and he looked pretty heavy. I mean, I know that's his body type, but yeah, so the Pelicans are going to be interesting for me. I'm a big Brandon Ingram fan, see how him and Zion can coexist. And then at the point guard, I mean, I think Devontae Graham is going to be an upgrade there. But again, they have another point guard that does not put a lot of pressure at the rim. I like Trey Murphy. I like Nikhil Walker-Alexander. Or is it Nikhil Alexander-Walker? Man, I get his name mixed up. I hope I'm not the only one that gets his name mixed up. But I think it's Nikhil Alexander-Walker. He's had some good moments in the preseason. So the Pelicans, I mean, I think their success is going to revolve around the health of Zion and if he can make improvements on defense. And then as far as like his conditioning, I think that's been one of the things that a lot of people have paid attention to. Now, if he's coming off a broken foot, then I can't imagine his conditioning would be great to start, especially when he comes back. And then, of course, you know, there are the rumors that his family is unhappy. And I've never seen anything about Zion being unhappy, but everything I've seen as far as reports say his family is unhappy. But those rumors started as soon as the Pelicans got the number one pick in the draft. So I don't know how legit they are. All right, at number four, speaking of legit, are the Atlanta Hawks legit? Are they for real? Can they duplicate their success from last season? I know there are people, basically the last two seasons, who have been putting a little asterisks by teams that have been successful. I mean, I have a friend who believes the Lakers championship run in the bubble was fake because, I mean, to me, the bubble was the hardest championship to possibly win. Then I know some people who are saying, like, the Hawks greatly benefited because the Brooklyn Nets kind of crumbled as far as with injuries. And Durant's shoe size, I mean, all that. So, or basically, they're saying that the Bucks and the Nets met in they met early in the playoffs. And Atlanta has a lot of expectations this year. I mean, this is easily the most. I mean, if you're a Hawks fan, this is easily like the most exciting preseason or most expectations you've had for a team probably since Dominique. I don't even think the 60-win Hawks team had these type of expectations or the same buzz in the city going into the season. Are they for real? I mean, they are deep. They have depth at every position. Probably too much depth, to be honest with you. You have a lot of guys that haven't been paid yet, a lot of young guys, a lot of guys that, especially at the five. I mean, I think Okongwu, Capella, you got Gorgui Dieng, now you got Jahlil Okafor. You got John Collins, and then behind John Collins, you got Jalen Johnson, who I think was a top 10 talent last year's draft. Sharif Cooper has played well in the preseason. I mean, they have a ridiculous amount of riches. And are they for real? Are guys going to be able to sacrifice for the team. Last year, they made the run with DeAndre Hunter and Cam Reddish not really in the rotation in the playoffs. I mean, Cam came in late, had a few good moments later on, but now they're expected to be healthy. You got position battle there. You got Kevin Herter, who's looking to be paid. I mean, I wouldn't be shocked if Atlanta does have a really good season, but I also wouldn't be too surprised if they struggle, because Nate McMillan has a lot of mouths to feed. He has a lot of people to keep happy. Same with Trae Young. So if they take a step back, I wouldn't be too surprised. All right, at number three, it is DeAndre Ayton versus Robert Sarver. Now, based off of everything that I've read, Ayton wants a max contract. He feels like he has deserved the max. And I even saw a quote saying that he's played the way that they want him to play. Now he's ready to play the way he wants to play. Sarver has had a reputation in the past for being cheap. And this is not the time to be cheap. I do not think Suns fans will forgive him if he somehow messes up this situation with Ayton. Now, whether or not Ayton deserves a max contract based off of his production is debatable. But the way max contracts have been given out, I mean, based off of his upside and the team's success, then yes, he deserves a max contract. Now, I honestly feel like they did not use him right. I felt like during the finals, I know he did not. I know he struggled scoring in the paint. I understand that from an efficiency standpoint. But I thought the game plan of shooting contested pull-ups over Giannis with Chris Paul, even though Chris Paul was knocking him down, I didn't think it was the best game plan. I thought there were times where Ayton had a mismatch on him, where he had a guard on him in the post, and they just kind of waved him off. So, you know, I'm thinking of it like if I was an Ayton family member, I was in his camp or his agent, I would feel like, man, we could have had a different outcome if they would have got him some more post touches. And it sounds like, based off of one interview that I read, that he would like more touches in the post to prove his numbers. I think only averaged like 13 or 14 points a game this year. So Robert Sarver, you got to pay the man whether like you want to or not. And I understand why he would be reluctant to, because you have Cam Johnson coming up for contract. You have Mikal Bridges, who will be coming up for contract. Based off of their value and how successful the team was, Ayton is going to want a max, and those guys are going to want, you know, 70, 80 million, something like that. And then the reason why you have to do it is because even though Devin Booker is still young, he's due for another contract extension, I think, in 2 years. And so if you don't bring back Ayton, or you don't bring back Bridges because it doesn't make financial sense, now you have to re-recruit Devin Booker and then Chris Paul's contract. I think Booker and Paul's contracts can come off the books at the same time. I think there's a team option for Chris Paul's contract. But Sarver's in a situation where the team exceeded expectations, and once they do that, you got to open up the checkbook. So DeAndre Ayton, is he going to be happy this season? That is something to look out for. And then at number two, it is probably number one on a lot of people's things to look out for, storylines or whatever. I mean, it's been talked about enough. It's this Kyrie situation with the Nets. I don't really know what to say. I am a Kyrie fan. I think that he's definitely changed as far as just his overall thought process in the last couple of seasons. I know you can say that he may have been a little different back when he was in Cleveland, but it just seems like the last few years he's made some changes, and he's not afraid to be the villain. And it almost seems like he just kind of treats basketball like, yeah, you know, I'll play when I want to. I have other things in life that are more important than basketball, which, you know, I think if that is the case, he'd be someone that has total peace once he's done playing. There are a lot of guys that eat, sleep, breathe basketball. Once they're done playing, it is a struggle the money doesn't matter to them. They're missing the camaraderie and the roar of the crowd. And Kyrie seems like someone that would be at total peace if he retires today, tomorrow. But can he play home games? I mean, Nash made a quote saying that at this point he doesn't expect him to play home games. I think there might be a loophole, because if non-vaccinated players, and I could be wrong here, but if it's true, if non-vaccinated players from other teams can play in New York, then Kyrie should be able to, because if I'm not mistaken, it says that you must be, I guess, New York residents. Now, if it is true that Kyrie lives in New Jersey, then he is not a New York resident, and he should be able to play home games. Now, I've already seen that he can't practice in New York because the practice facility is like a private location or whatever. I still think this situation kind of plays out in Kyrie's favor. And if it does, then it's like, man, he stuck true to his guns. If it doesn't, then, I mean, it's going to be controversy all year long. I mean, especially if they lose games at home, and then, you know, it could just be a situation where guys get frustrated. And I mean, it happens in New York. I mean, it's not the Knicks, but it happening in New York is going to, I mean, just magnify the whole situation. So that is something to look out for. And finally, at number one, the thing that I want to see the most this basketball season is Russell Westbrook and the Lakers. I think there is some conflicting styles. Westbrook can't shoot. Bron is usually surrounded by shooters. Even though Rondo and Bron had success in 2020, the part that gets me is we all watched the bubble in 2020 when Westbrook played for the Rockets, and we saw how the Lakers defended Russell Westbrook. Straight up boxes and elbows. I don't even know if they even defended him at the elbows when he had the ball at the top of the key. They dared him to shoot. They knew he couldn't shoot. And it's just interesting to me that they are now on the same team. And so Westbrook likes to play fast. Bron likes to play slow. Westbrook is used to the ball in his hands every play. Bron is used to having the ball in his hands. So, I mean, this Westbrook-Lakers dynamic is going to be interesting. I mean, we're not even talking about it from the age standpoint. I'm just talking about it more so from a style standpoint. And if you look at Westbrook's numbers in the preseason, it is preseason, and I mean, Russ is still going to be Russ, but the numbers look really bad as far as Russ and his turnovers. I mean, I'm not a Lakers fan. I'm a Blazers fan, as I mentioned, so of course I'm looking forward to the time where Bron gets the ball in the mid post, or he drives and he kicks it out to Westbrook, who reluctantly shoots it, and he decides to pass up an open shot, drive into traffic, and then he kicks it out to, I don't know, Bron for what we call a bomb, or just puts Bron in a position to where he can only shoot. If he misses, he misses. If he makes it, Russ gets to get the assist. But I had the same concerns with Rondo and I forgot who they had. A couple years ago, I thought the Lakers lacked ideal floor spacing, which they did, and they still ended up winning a championship. So Westbrook and Bron, that whole pairing is something that I'm looking forward to seeing. All right, thank you so much for listening to Locked On NBA Draft. This is your host, Rafael Barlow. Kind of switched it up a little bit, didn't really do any talking about the NBA draft or draft prospects. Kind of just talked about the NBA. But thank you for listening. I am signing out. But actually, before I sign out, thank you for making Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the day, and my episode of Locked On NBA Draft your first listen of the week. Now, please make your second listen Locked On Fantasy Basketball. Josh Lloyd hosts the number one fantasy basketball show on the planet. It's free, and it's also available on all platforms. Thank you so much. Once again, it's Rafael, NBA Draft Junkies, and I am out.